About 40 days after Jesus was born, his parents brought him to Jerusalem. We know this because of what Luke says in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. If you were to read through Luke 2, you'd find that also in Luke chapter 2, verse 24, Mary and Joseph offered a sacrifice on the Lord's behalf. Jesus' parents chose what was an offering that was typically used by the poor. That would either be two turtle doves or two pigeons. The doves or the pigeons, of course, were part of their obligation under the Old Testament law. But if you had a firstborn son, this was not the extent of the obligation that you had. Luke doesn't mention it. Perhaps he just wraps this up in the other offering. But you may remember 2 weeks ago that we studied on a Sunday evening the idea of the firstborn. We noted how, and this is where we're going to turn soon tonight, to Exodus chapter 13. And it's in that context, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 13, that God said, the firstborn. The firstborn, and I understand that as males, the firstborn animals and the firstborn people belong to me. When parents had a firstborn son, as did Mary and Joseph, they had to, if you will, buy back that son from God. That buyback process was not cheap. My understanding is that if you go and you look at first century wages, it took about 5 months' wages to buy back your child. So it's not surprising that Mary and Joseph used an offering for poor people. God used this buyback product in part to help the Hebrews remember the history that had befallen the nation, that his people had been in Egypt and he had kept the firstborn alive in Egypt while the firstborn among the Egyptians, they died. Buying back a son, Luke chapter 2, helps set the stage for some information that we want to look at in Exodus chapter 13. This congregation is good as far as normally having people turn back when their Bibles and looking at passages as we go through different verses. If you are not in that habit, tonight, I'd encourage you to pick up a Bible, whether it's the pew or whether it's a Bible that you brought, and take a look with me at some information in Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, we have Moses telling the people, the firstborn belong to God. And this statement is not only made in Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, it's also found in Exodus chapter 13, verse 12. God's people were being prepared for what God wanted, and that would be a life in Canaan. And in view of that, we have Exodus 13. Let's start with verse 11. Read that verse and go down through verse 13. And it shall be, Moses said, when Jehovah shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanite, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Jehovah all that openeth the womb and every firstling which thou hast that cometh of a beast. The males shall be Jehovah's. Then verse 13. And every firstling of an ass, or that would be, we might say a donkey, thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou will not redeem it, that is that donkey, then God said, I want you to break the donkey's neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy sons thou shalt redeem. Verse 12 is very clear. God said, when it comes to the firstborn, the males, they belong to me. They are mine. Well, that's pretty simple to understand. But if that instruction were given to us, we might ask the question, we might be wondering, okay, God, if these animals belong to you, what does that mean? How do we give them to you? What process is involved? Should we let them go free, or exactly what should we do? Well, you don't find an answer to that question in Exodus 13. You do, however, find an answer to that question a few pages later. In the book of Numbers, and I'm not going to read this in the Bible, I'm going to give it to you from my notes, but in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, God says, these firstborn animals that belong to me, here's how I want them. Here's how you are to dispose of those animals. Numbers 19, 18 says, but the firstling of a cow, or God said, the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, God said, thou shalt not redeem. Redeem your sons. But God said, when it comes to these animals, you can't redeem them. You can't buy these animals back. That is not an option for you. And God said, these animals can't be bought back because they're holy. They're mine. They're set apart to me. Well, God, if we can't buy them back, and they belong to you, how should we dispose of them? The verse continues by saying, thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar. In other words, these animals that belong to me, you need to kill them. And once you have taken the lives of these animals, I want you to sprinkle their blood upon the altar. And then I want you to burn their fat for an offering, and it's going to be a sweet savor unto Jehovah. So those firstborn animals that belong to God, Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, we find in that other passage, Numbers 18, verse 17, God says, I want you to take these animals, and I want you to sacrifice them to me. Well, that's not difficult to understand. It's pretty simple. But God says, asterisk. God says, there is a footnote. God said, as you go through this process, there is something that you need to remember. There is a big exception. And the exception is found in that word ass, or some translations might use the word donkey. Now, as you look at animals under the Old Testament, you may remember that there is a pretty simple distinction. God said there's some animals that are clean, and there are some animals that are unclean. And that distinction is certainly found in Moses' law. But that distinction is found even prior to Moses and his law. Remember back there in Genesis chapter 7, verse 2, Noah getting the animals for the ark? The Bible says that there were clean animals and there were unclean animals. Have you ever wondered why God gave that distinction? There were clean animals and there were unclean animals. There may have been several reasons, but I'm aware of at least two. There was that distinction for physical purposes. At this time, as far as what the Jews had, the ancient practices that they had, and the technology that they had, there could have been some animals, for example, pork, that could have been dangerous for God's people, so there were some health considerations where God said, don't deal. You classify that animal as unclean. You don't deal with that animal like you would this other kind of animal. But there was also taking place something else. God was not only concerned about the physical health of his people, but he was concerned about their spiritual health. When God began to tell the people these animals are clean and these animals are unclean, he was beginning to lay down the idea that there are some things which are holy. He was beginning to convey to the people that there are some things which are sacred. There are some things which are special, and with these special items, they get treated in a special way. And there are some other items which are not special, they're not sacred, you can deal with them in a common way. The donkeys that we read about in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, they fell into the unclean category. Now remember what God has said. The firstborn animals are mine. And you take those firstborn animals and you sacrifice them to me. Numbers 18, verse 17. But that sacrifice could not have been done with the donkeys because they were unclean. They were not suitable animals to sacrifice. Well, donkeys were special for a couple of reasons. The least important reason was that they were very practical to the Hebrew people. Just like today, donkeys were pack animals, and the Hebrews used them as pack animals. Every donkey was important. But God said you can't have every donkey automatically because they are, as far as the firstborn males, they're mine. They belong to me. Well, if those donkeys couldn't be sacrificed to God, Numbers 18, verse 17, but they belong to God, Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, what were the people supposed to do? How were those donkeys to be treated? God says there's going to be special treatment. Well, God, since they belong to you, can we just set them free? We've got this firstborn donkey, and because it belongs to you and we can't redeem it, we can't buy it back, can we just set it free? And God said, that's not going to work. That's not one of the options, Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. God says you have two choices. Option number one was to redeem that donkey. God said you can take that animal and you can buy it back from me. I own it, it's mine, and you can buy it back if you want. And the purchase price was a lamb. But God said, option number two, since this donkey is mine, the firstborn male, if you don't want to buy it back, then God said there's only one other choice. You have to take that donkey, you have to break its neck. That donkey must die. Now, if I were listening to the sermon, I would be thinking, wow, where are you going with this? Donkeys and breaking their necks, and that just sounds pretty weird for a sermon. I want to suggest, if you give me 60 more seconds, there is, in Exodus 13, verse 13, one of the most magnificent lessons in the entire Old Testament. The firstborn donkey, Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, was more than a firstborn donkey. That firstborn donkey represents someone. That firstborn donkey that either needed to be redeemed or killed represents me. That firstborn donkey that needed to be redeemed or killed, it represents you. That firstborn donkey that needed to be redeemed or killed, it represents every single person guilty of sin. Think carefully about the two choices. What were the two choices about the donkey? Redeem it, buy it back, or kill it. Are those not the same two choices that are true for us? If we are guilty of sin, what are the two choices? Redeemed, bought back by God, or death. Those are the only two choices. And two, notice how in Exodus chapter 13, it's interesting, is it not? That the donkeys, these firstborn donkeys, are mentioned in the same thought, in the same breath, as human beings, firstborn sons. Now we know from the New Testament that the wages of sin lead to death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And as I said just a moment ago, because of that sin, because it leads to death, there are two choices. Either suffer the death, or we as an individual can be redeemed. God would not accept a firstborn donkey for sacrifice, Numbers chapter 18, verse 17, and he will not accept an unredeemed sinner. Someone says, well, okay, that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if I really buy that. Well, I might be skeptical as well. So let's dig a little more deeply into the text. Once again, we know that firstborn animals belong to God. Exodus 13, verse 12, and we have it also stated a second time in this chapter. They, because they're unclean, could not be sacrificed to God. Numbers chapter 18, verse 17. Donkeys were treated differently, and yet God said they still belong to me. They can't be sacrificed. Consider this question. Why didn't God give the Hebrews the option of simply setting the donkey free? If it couldn't be sacrificed, Numbers 18, verse 17, and if the people didn't want to redeem it and that was an option, why not just let the donkey go free? The answer to that is in what I just mentioned, and I'll deal more fully with that shortly. But just as those donkeys could not be free, that stood for the fact. That symbolized the fact that when we are guilty of sin, God just can't let us go free. Something has to be done. Either we have to be redeemed from sin or we've got to die. God just can't simply let us off the hook and say, well, I'm a good, gracious God, and I'm just going to let you go. Your sin, it doesn't seem all that big to me, and that is not a problem. The fact that donkeys either had to be redeemed or die stands for the fact that God says to us, if you are a sinner, you also need to be redeemed or die. I simply cannot overlook or forget about your sin. Now, a lot of people in our time think that God will do that. It's common in our day and time to find someone who thinks God is so nice and so loving, our sin doesn't matter to him all that much. And he's going to overlook man's sins if they're not in Christ, unless we are the worst of the worst. But that point in Exodus 13, verse 13, says that God will not overlook sin. Thinking about the two options when it comes back to donkeys. One option, of course, was to break the neck. Donkeys belong to God, and God said if they're not redeemed, they need to be killed. Well, that's also true of us. If we're not redeemed, we must die. And if we die, there is no hope for us spiritually. There can be no grace from God after we leave this life, if we're in a wrong relationship with God, that will save us. Well, if the firstborn donkeys stand for human beings, and they tell us that those donkeys couldn't go free just as we cannot be let off the hook, and the neck being snapped is not an attractive option for us, that of course would stand for the fact that we must die, then what's the other alternative in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13? Well, we've already stated that a time or two. These firstborn donkeys, they could be redeemed. And here is a point tonight that I hope that you walk away with. Donkeys could be redeemed. What was the redemption price? If a man decided that he wanted to buy that donkey back from God, can't let it go, and he knows that it can't be used for sacrifice, so he says, I want to buy my firstborn donkey back from God. God, what's the price? How much do I have to pay? What was the purchase price? Do you see it in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13? The purchase price was an animal. What kind of animal? The Bible says that the purchase price was going to be a lamb. Out of all the purchase prices God could have listed, he could have said, I want this much money. Or he could have said, here is a range, here is a list of animals, and you pick from these lists that I have, or you pick from these monetary payments, or you pick from these crops. God didn't do any of that. God could have selected any number of clean animals to say you can redeem your donkeys, those valuable pack animals, with all these animals, but he didn't do that. He said, I have only one option for you. If you want to redeem that donkey, if you want to redeem that unclean animal, then you offer a lamb and only a lamb. That's only going to be the acceptable sacrifice for me. Well, as you begin to think about that, you might think, okay, some dots are beginning to sort of connect for me. The lamb being offered as a sacrifice, and only a lamb being offered as a sacrifice pointed forward to something. Pointed forward, of course, to the New Testament. I'm not sure how many times this is used in the King James. I'm assuming the number is pretty close to what you find in the ESV. But in the American Standard Translation, as you look at the word lamb, it's used 32 times. If you were to look at all those passages, you would find that all but four of those lamb verses are in the book of Revelation. 28 verses about the lamb in the book of Revelation, 4 verses in Matthew through Jude. The book of Revelation centers on the lamb. The lamb, Jesus, came. The lamb, Jesus, died. The lamb, Jesus, paid the price. The lamb has been raised to ever make intercession for God's people. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, look carefully at the text because it tells us that there is an animal which lives, and there is an animal which dies. The donkey lives. The lamb dies. Is this not exactly what we find when it comes to the New Testament? You see, without that lamb's death, that donkey was going to have its neck broken. The information in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, is a brief summary. It is a picture in advance, if you will, of the gospel. Jesus became that ultimate lamb, John 1, verse 29. So his death would allow us to live. And if we're not willing to have that lamb be our redemption price, Exodus 13, verse 13 warns us about the consequence. Just as the necks of those donkeys were snapped and those animals died, so God says to us, you must die. Again, Paul's statement of it is quite good in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. When we think about the necks of those donkeys being snapped, if they were not redeemed, that was a temporary measure. But that's not what we find when it comes to the New Testament. God says if we're not going to have that lamb be our redemption price, God says it's not going to be that temporary pain. It's not going to be just physical death, but it's going to be spiritual death. It's going to be eternal death. It will never end. As we look at Exodus 13, verse 13, especially from our perspective looking back, we find a very powerful teaching when it comes to salvation. We also come away with, I think, another great lesson. When we look at our day and time, and we consider how people view humanity by and large, it seems to me that a lot of folks almost look at themselves and mankind as humanity being deity. Men and women look at themselves and others as being so smart. It's true that we live in a time of great advancement. We've sent people into outer space and been able to bring them back. We've sent people deep into various bodies of water, lakes and oceans and seas. We have created fantastic tools when it comes to science and medicine. We have communication now that people could not begin to imagine 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. When we begin to look at what we've done, the earth that we can drill into and extract minerals and oil and all kinds of great things, it is almost like we are gods. And that's how some seem to look at humanity. When you look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, though, it's almost as if God says, man, woman, sinner, let me tell you who you are. God took an unclean animal, that is a donkey, and on that same line, he put us, men and women. God had no problem at all putting man on the same line, so to speak, as a donkey. The next time that we think we're hot stuff, or the next time we meet someone who is bragging about how advanced man is and we have moved beyond God, remember that sin has brought us so low. Sin has so debased man that we must have divine intervention. We need redemption. And we can't provide that on our own. No matter how far we progress when it comes to technology, no matter how greatly we advance in the future, this is something that we will never be able to provide. That donkey had to be redeemed by a lamb. And if we are guilty of sin, we must also be redeemed by the lamb. And if we are not redeemed, we are absolutely hopeless in the sight of God. Sometimes we sing some great hymns. One of those hymns is, Jesus is all the world to me. Remember those lines? When we sing that kind of hymn, that should be right. We should think, yes, Jesus is all the world to me because he has redeemed me from sin. This was something I could not do. This is something that no one can do except Christ. And he paid the price. He allowed himself to die on the cross for my sins. Without Christ, every single person guilty of sin would have zero, absolutely no hope of heaven. If we have committed even one sin, we are like that firstborn donkey in Exodus 13, verse 13. We need redemption. And really, there's only one question. If we need that redemption, will we be like that donkey that's redeemed by the lamb, or will we be that donkey that has its neck broken? That's not a pretty image, but that's really what we're talking about when it comes to people and the end of time. The choice is ours. Accept the redemption offered by God through Christ, or be broken. Be sent to a place where there is eternal punishment and eternal banishment from God. The gospel summed up in Exodus 13, verse 13, so well, so powerfully. Have we obeyed it? Have we been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are we walking in the light of the Lamb? this evening, if the answer to those questions is no, because we've not yet become a Christian, one more time at least, God has given us the opportunity to believe in redemption. He's given us the opportunity to turn from sin and be redeemed, to confess the Redeemer. And then the Bible says to be joined to the Redeemer, buried with Christ in baptism, Colossians 2, verse 12. Who would not want to be joined by the Lamb? And the Bible says that we're raised up to walk in the newness of life. We're walking with the Lamb in redemption all of our days. And then to join Him at the end of time, forever, in a perfectly redeemed state. The Lamb has been given for us. Will we take advantage of the sacrifice today and every day? Those are the questions that we're asking. And if we can help you answer those questions in a right way, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.